Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear the January 6th prosecution's case next Tuesday. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, you know, Matt, as you know, Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief in this case where three January 6th defendants are appealing the government's use of an evidence destruction law to criminally charge them for entering the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah, the defendants say that they briefly entered the U.S. Capitol building after Congress had recessed. In this case, the men contend that the federal government is overreaching them by charging under the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And that law grew out of the collapse of the Enron Corporation, and it is designed to prevent the fraudulent destruction of corporate financial records. Bottom line is, this law that they were charged under, and many January 6ers were charged under, has nothing whatsoever to do with the events of January 6th.
And you know, I'm not an attorney and I don't play one on TV, but this doesn't make sense to me. I don't see how this has anything to do with January 6th unless they're just pulling at straws to try to prosecute these people.
It doesn't have anything to do with January 6th. In fact, the Enron corruption began with financial records. Enron was a publicly traded company and they were cooking the books, if you will. So the federal government agencies got involved and they began to request documents from Enron to protect the public shareholders. And Enron began to change the corporate documents and the financial records and or destroy some of those corporate records to hide that information from the government, because they were cooking the books, they were engaging in fraudulent recording and registering of their value and their worth. And of course, then they put this out to the public and the public relies upon it. And the public then looks at the company and thinks that it's healthy financially. And they're confident to put more money to invest in that company by purchasing shares. It's a fraudulent transaction. And when the Enron Corporation was investigated, they tried to cover it up in this massive scheme. And it was a massive corporate fraud. Congress got involved, and in 2002, they passed the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And that law was designed to prevent the problem that they encountered with Enron, so that governments are now empowered to go after these companies. And there's a law that prevents these, especially publicly traded companies, from engaging in this financial fraud. So the decision of this particular reason for this law was to prevent the fraudulent destruction or creation of corporate financial records. So how does that apply to entering the U.S. Capitol? And the answer is, it doesn't.
This is such a stretch. I mean, these people were peacefully protesting the 2020 election, and to pull this out of the hat to try to prosecute them. I mean, these faithful patriots are sitting in jail right now for I don't know how long it's been, for peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights.
Now, there are clearly some people that entered and they had good intent, and they just entered and they didn't do anything. And that's what these individuals before the U.S. Supreme Court claim that was their situation.
But some of the police, you know, escorted them in.
Yeah, and we've seen videos like that. There are other people, however, that we see that got out of control and they did bad things.
And there were paid actors in the scene as well.
But those that did wrong things, those individuals can be punished. There are laws to punish them. Those assault, there's battery laws. If they were to beat somebody or hit somebody, if they were to resist arrest, if they were told to leave and they didn't, there's trespass laws. There's different kinds of laws that are already in place. The problem that the federal government had is they didn't like the existing laws. They didn't like the existing laws because they didn't provide sufficient amount of prison time or jail time or penalty. They wanted something that actually was much stronger. So what did they do? Instead of using the laws that they could have used against those that were real lawbreakers, while releasing or not going after those that were not lawbreakers, which would have been a smaller universe of people to go after the lawbreakers with different kinds of laws that had lower penalties, they then decided, you know what, let's try the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And the Sarbanes-Oxley Act has a significant penalty attached to it if you violate it. There's a provision, for example, within the Sarbanes-Oxley Act that not only applies to the destruction of documents, but also applies if you are trying to interfere with a, you know, public like a meeting or a public investigation, if you will. In obviously in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, the issue was that Enron was trying to interfere with an ongoing action by the federal government to investigate them. So they tried to interfere with it by destroying documents. So they were interfering with an ongoing federal action. So they took that part, that interference with this ongoing federal or some other kind of government action, they took that to say, well, these people, they entered into the Capitol and they tried to interfere with the certification of the election. Well, Sarbanes-Oxley had nothing to do with things like that.
And Congress was not meeting at the time. I mean, this is so corrupt. I just pray the U.S. Supreme Court will see the reality of this.
Well, and so we filed an amicus brief because we believe that the First Amendment is highly implicated in this case, because if, in fact, Sarbanes-Oxley can be used discriminatorily, as it has been in January 6 prosecutions, against somebody who's entering into a government building when a government meeting is supposedly ongoing, and the government says, well, that interfered with this ongoing government meeting, then my goodness, the implications of that are staggering.
They can just pull out any law they want out of the hat to prosecute somebody.
Because look at all of the different gatherings that happen in Washington, D.C. or in the various state capitals with legislators. Look at all the different actions where people come to protest, even peacefully protest, and they're outside. Maybe they're blocking traffic. Maybe they're doing other things. Maybe they are trespassing, but the Sarbanes-Oxley Act is not what you use against them. The reason why they used it is because it's a bully club, and it is a huge threat.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Because, and that's why some of these people pled guilty, because they were approached and said, well, if you plead guilty, we'll give you 3 months in jail. You'll have a criminal record. But if you don't plead guilty, we'll take you to court and you could spend 4 or 5 years in jail.
But they weren't guilty.
But that's what happened. That's why, and some of them were guilty. I mean, we have to admit, some of these people engaged in bad acts. And you see them where they take a fire extinguisher and they bash somebody with it.
Right.
That's
now
wrong.
That, yeah, that's wrong.
You know, but that's a minority of people. There's people there that did get out of control. There are people that did do unlawful actions.
But in this case,
these people didn't do anything. They represent many just like them that just went into the Capitol. Some of them thought that they were being invited in. Some of the videos show the officers allowing people to just come in. They're not waving them off.
Right.
So, but then because they entered the Capitol, then they get charged under Sarbanes-Oxley. And then they're told, hey, look, if you want to resist this, you could spend years in prison. But if you plead guilty, I'll give you a few months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and you'll be out. So a lot of these people pled guilty because they didn't want to risk spending years in prison under this law that doesn't apply to it. So,
but Matt, this is a huge threat to our First Amendment
rights.
It's
a huge threat to our free speech and our freedom of assembly, because this can be used discriminatorily, not only against people in Washington, D.C., but around the country, all the different events, even local school boards, for example. The government, federal government could come after you for that.
So next Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme is going to hear this case. So I just ask everyone to pray for this and to listen to the case, keep informed, because this is really important to all of us, not only for these January 6th defendants.
Yeah, for everyone, because it really involves a significant overreach and a weaponization of the federal government under the Biden administration. And by the way, no surprise, they haven't used the Sarbanes-Oxley Act against Antifa or Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Or any of the other events, even in Washington, D.C., just against these January 6 people. It is something that has been an abuse of power, and pray that the Supreme Court strikes this down and sends a huge message, because it'll affect many of these others that were persecuted and prosecuted by this Sarbanes-Oxley Act. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.